Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
It has never been known to fail. Heaven and earth may pass away. Not a jot of this book will go unaccomplished. Even when we are unbelieving, He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. This month, this book will produce in my life. Because God is committed to confirm His word to everyone that believes. I choose to believe. Therefore, God is committed to confirm His word in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. The next three Sundays, beginning from today, will be devoted to this aspect of the word of God. Because this aspect has become our God-ordained identity. And it's important to bring every member of this family into that realm of God-created worth. Word-created worth. We have part one today, and next Sunday we have part two. And the last Sunday we have an impartation that is going to establish your prosperity work for a generational testimony. Can I hear your loud amen? 26th of August 1987, I was in the embassy suites in Tulsa when the Lord spoke to me very early in the morning. Arise, get down home and make my people rich. I had a series of meetings lined up in California. It was pungent. It was like a shot of fire. I canceled all appointments and called me any name you feel like calling me. I want to obey God. Get down home and make my people rich. It was a strange mandate because I don't know that there's any ministry of making people rich. But I found in scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul speaking as poor and making many rich. And God said, don't mind how you look and don't mind your present status. Obey my word. As poor and yet making many rich. So I have this divine mandate as clear as I had the anchor mandate of this commission that came 23 years ago. As poor and yet making many rich. So God sent me, among other things, as an instrument of economic empowerment for His people in this part of the world. God sent me as an instrument of economic empowerment for his people in this part of the world. And you all know that light shines brightest at source, because you are right at the base where this mandate is being executed. You are ordained of God to be a first beneficiary of this heavenly mandate. It's a mandate from heaven. When that mandate came, I was among the poorest of the poor. Amen. When that mandate came, I was not qualified by any social standard to bear that mandate. But as foolish as I will always be when it comes to instruction from heaven, I embarked on it immediately. Teaching with stronger veracity issues on kingdom prosperity. And this next 3 Sundays, I tell you something. You are going to come out. I said, you are going to come out. So I have seen a lot of people, by the confirmation of God's power, come out of poverty into inexplainable prosperity. My sons and daughters who have their various ministries have unbelievable testimonies of the strange hand of God. One of them came the other time and brought 10 million sacrifice for Covenant University Project by the blessing of God that's coming upon their ministry. All over the world is happening. People sit around the internet and their life is just being dramatically turned around. How can you sit live at the center and not have it? That's why I believe that this next 3 weeks is going to create for you access into that realm of generational wealth. How many are believing God for that? You believe in God for that? I have never begged since he opened this to me. We've never prayed for what to eat once. We've never even confessed it. You know, you confess when you want to see something and you have not seen it. You've never had to confess it. Your church today qualifies to be described as one of the wealthiest non-governmental organizations that has the privilege of governments from nations coming to seek what way we could be of help to them. And I say that with all sense of humility. And that we are going to continue to do, bringing life to dying people and rescuing nations from the pangs of penury and poverty. But everything in this book works by faith. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That is, the blessedness of the book is in your believing. You are blessed by believing, not just by hearing. And believing is not just a mental assent or consent. Faith is not just believing that God is almighty and God has everything. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him so you can commit him to confirm his word. So obedience is what gives credibility to faith. Faith is fake when it is void of obedience. Faith is fake when it is void of obedience. Show me your faith without your works. Show me what your faith has produced without your acting on what God says, and I will show you what my faith has produced by acting on what God says. Faith has no evidence when it is void of obedience. It is your obedience that gives life to faith. So your obedience is what makes faith produce evidence. He said Abraham was blessed by faith established with works. He was justified by works. Take your son, and he did. Take him up to the mountain, and he went. Lay him up on the altar, he did. And so James said in chapter 2, was not Abraham justified by works? When he had God's word, he acted on it. So faith without works is dead faith. And dead faith cannot produce living results. I speak to you as a prophet sent by God, a human instrument, set apart for the economic empowerment of the people of God in this part of the world. And with living proofs to match the fact that it is a divine mandate. We are told from God's word, this is word created wealth, part one. We are told from God's word that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I'm reading now from John chapter 1, verse 1, down the line. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. How many things were made by him? Now, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So all of the resources, the natural resources that is spread across the length and breadth of this world were made by him, and they were all word created. Come and say word created. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof. Come and say the fullness. So the earth was not created for emptiness, it was created for fullness. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof. I'm going to show you in a moment a classified data on how much wealth is buried in the belly of the earth. And then you see how committed God is to enriching every human being that walks the surface of this earth. And it's interesting to know in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 9, that the profit of the earth is for all. How many? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 9. The profit of the earth is for all, not for a few. It is for all. For all. The profit of the earth is for all. Even the king himself is served by the field. So whatever God planted in the earth, it is for all to enjoy, not for a few. So poverty is not a native of Africa. Hello? For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 10, 12. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. Is rich unto all that call upon him. Is rich unto all that call upon him. The same God is over all and is rich unto all who can connect with him. These 3 Sundays is designed for your covenant connection with the source of all wealth. So you can be part of solving the problem of this world. Can I hear your amen? Because most problems in this world answer to money. He said, money answereth all things. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19. money answereth all things. All of the troubles we have in most nations of Africa is gingered by money. Money, money. The war is gingered by money. Can we get it? Let's look for people who will help us bring weapons so we can keep killing ourselves. Money. But these 3 Sundays, God, by his word, by the hammer of his word, it will break every stronghold of poverty in our land in the name of Jesus. Just how much wealth is in this world? I got this data from a book that's titled The Wealth of the World, and it was bringing in quite some amazing data, dated 1986. Here are appropriate dollar values of some of the major minerals which will be produced in 20 years. This is not all that is available, but what we produce. According to this data, it said $220 billion of copper to be produced within 20 years, $50 trillion of gold inside the earth, $300 billion of silver. Now, you see, man didn't create gold. Man didn't create copper. Man only discovered what God has created. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And this enormous dimension of wealth was created by the word of God. That tells you how much is loaded in the world. When you get hold of the word of God, how much treasure is loaded in it. $360 billion of aluminium. $600 billion of iron, tin, zinc, and lead. For these 8 minerals only, we have $51 trillion. $51 trillion, $480 billion. Without considering inflation. Hid in the earth. And Solomon said, the profit of the earth is for all. Even the king himself is served by the field. Other items that we produce within that same 20 years period includes $16 trillion of oil, crude oil, $1.5 trillion of barley, corn, $4 trillion of corn, $19 trillion of meat, $4 trillion of rice, and $4 trillion of pork, and $3.6 trillion of wheat. Now, totaling $52,100,000,000 of new wealth coming from your father's earth. Created by his word. Now coal, that is coal like charcoal, coal reserves, by a conservative estimate, are figured at $383 trillion sitting or just beneath the earth crust. Coal. Now when you add those three stuff together, you have $1,086 trillion of wealth. And we're talking about a world that is about 7 billion people only. There is more than enough for all. But unfortunately, not many people know the way to it. There are two ways. His ways and our ways. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. But I want to let you know my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now some individuals have engaged natural ways, intellectual ways, into wealth. And God is saying no matter what they are able to touch, it is not to be compared with what is available to you walk in my ways. The earth is too loaded for anyone to remain poor. The earth is too loaded for anyone to remain poor. That same data states that about 80% of all millionaires come from middle or working class families. Think about that. He said all their millionaires in America are being produced not from the rich class, but from the poor and middle class. So your case is settled. I said your case is settled. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So wealth is part of your redemptive heritage. Good news to the poor is simply you don't have to be poor again. And he came to preach the good news to the poor. So poverty was his direct area of attention. To preach the good news to the poor. That you don't have to be poor again. Provision is made for you to enjoy wealth. You don't have to be poor again. There is no good news to the poor other than that you don't have to remain there. Come on here. You don't have to sit in the dunghill anymore. You can sit now among the princes. That's good news. When he sent the apostles and they were preaching what he sent them, he was working with them, confirming the word. I want to let you know that these 3 Sundays will terminate your struggles as far as poverty is concerned. All your struggles with poverty will come to a final end these next 3 weeks. The earth is too loaded for anyone to remain poor, particularly the redeemed. For the redeemed to remain poor is an abuse on the price that Jesus paid. There was a man by name Job. Job became the wealthiest man of his day. And Job's testimony stated that he had access to the secret of God. In Job 29 and verse 3, Job said, as it was in the days of my youth, when the secret of the Lord was upon my tabernacle. So the secret of God made Job. The secret that God will be unfolding beginning from this morning will make you. He said, the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. I washed my feet with butter, and the oil brought me forth rivers. The rock brought me forth rivers of oil. And the Bible says Job was the greatest of all men of the East. And the secret of God was the secret card in the hand of Job. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Oh God, open me to your secret this time. The secret that makes all the difference. Open me to your secret that will make all the difference. It's one thing to be hearing it, it's another thing to discover it. What you hear does not make you. What you discover is what makes you. Destiny anchors on discovery. Knowing the way to where you are going is what makes a star in any field of pursuit. It's vital. It's important. Job had access to a secret that his contemporaries didn't have access to. His colleagues in business never had access to. And by virtue of the secret he had access to, he was up. And his secret was so strange. In their time, for instance. While others were committed to every kind of effort to go up, Job was committed to helping people with the benefits of his life. He was eyes to the blind. He was feet to the lame. The cause didn't know he searched out. He plucked out the people out of the mouth of killers. He was so committed to certain things that looked like it was off his mind. But he kept flying, he kept flying, he kept flying. Even when the devil attacked him, he still emerged, having seven more times than he had before. And there was nobody that still compared with him after his ordeal. God's secret is what makes stars in the kingdom. The secret of God is what makes stars in the kingdom. The secrets of God. Because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. So when we line up our actions with his ways and we line up our thoughts with his thoughts, we just become an amazement to the world. We just become an amazement to the world. That's what is happening to you these next 3 Sundays. You are going to be released as a sign and a wonder to your world. Can I hear your amen if you believe that? You are going to be released as a sign and a wonder to your world. God will release you after this month as a sign and a wonder to your world. The secret of God. The secret of God. The secret of God. The secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The secret of God. So let's go back to his empowerment. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, there's a dimension of wealth that was described in the earlier verses of that scripture. And I think it will be a blessing to go through some of them to see what God means when he talks about wealth. Verse 7. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranate, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses. What are you to build? What are you to build? Not rent goodly houses. Build goodly houses. Build what? Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? And dwell therein. You will build it and dwell there. And when thy herds and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of penury, the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. So don't say in thy heart, my power and that my might, the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18 together, come on, let's read. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is sworn unto thy fathers, as it is this day. There is a clear description of the dimension of covenant wealth. You eat bread without scarceness. You have no lack of anything in that land. You build goodly houses and dwell therein. Everything around you multiplies on their own. He said, never think it is by your power. Never think it's by your smartness. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth on the basis of his covenant. So the covenant is the platform for your economic empowerment. The covenant. You must get to understand what does this covenant actually entail. I'm sure it's in your Bible in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. It is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and he has no sorrow to it. I'm sure it's in your Bible also. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds it. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen are away but in vain. Psalm 127 verse 1 to 3. It's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans chapter 9 and verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. He said, the battle is not to the strong, neither yet the race to the swift, nor yet favor to men of skill. So there is nothing you are and have that qualifies you for this dimension of wealth. Whatever you may have and whatever you are only qualifies you to survive. This dimension of wealth is only accessible on the platform of the covenant. Everything multiplies. Everything multiplies. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. This is the foundation for world-created wealth. This is the foundation for supernatural prosperity in which your church is walking in. I tell you something. The inexplainable blessings of God, but clean. Come and say clean. Clean blessings of God. Clean blessings of God. What is the covenant that is where? After the flood, Noah reared an altar and sacrificed of every clean beast and every clean fowl. You know why it was a sacrifice? Because all of them entered into the ark in pairs, a male and a female, a male and a female. So to take any of them means to bring an end to that generation of animal. Hello? And then reared an altar and offered unto God burnt sacrifices, and the Bible said God smelt a good savor. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20 to 22. And God said in his heart, I will no longer cross the earth anymore for man's sake, but from henceforth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat shall not cease. Why the earth remaineth? Verse 22. Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat shall not cease. The earth is today barren, but I'm going to fill the earth up again on the basis of this covenant. Can I hear your amen? The flood has swept away everything, but I'm going to use this covenant to restore everything. Why the earth remaineth? As long as this earth is in place, this is my everlasting covenant with the human race. What you sow is what sets the pace for what you will reap. Why the earth remaineth? Seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat shall not cease. So every time you wake up in the morning and your leg is touching on the earth, know that God's covenant is still in force. Every time you are on the road and you discover the earth is still in place, then know that God's covenant is still in force. Every time you sit in your office and you are not floating in the air, your leg is firmly on the ground. Know that God's covenant is still in force. Why this hour 3 minutes? Seed time and harvest, and summer and winter, and cold and heat shall not cease. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Your sweat will never be equal to surplus. It is your obedience that guarantees abundance. It's one thing to be in church. It's another thing to be in obedience. It's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to put the truth to work. The knowledge of scriptures does not guarantee a future. It is the practice of scriptures that guarantees a future. Every testimony of abundance in scriptures is traceable to the practice of this law. Abraham took one son to the altar, and we are all covenant sons of and daughters of Abraham today. That God said, Jesus Christ died to connect us to the blessings of Abraham. He was made a curse for us that we might be connected to the blessings of Abraham. Think of it. Solomon took sacrifices to the altar, 1,000 burnt sacrifices. And God said, you have fulfilled the terms of the covenant. You are entitled to the fullness of my blessings. And divine wealth exploded in Solomon's life. Think of it. Job became the wealthiest man in all the East because he was committed through his substance to helping the needy have their needs met. There is no testimony of supernatural abundance in scriptures that is not rooted in the compliance with the terms of that covenant. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is swear unto thy fathers as it is this day. Let's hear from the mouth of Jesus as he's expatiated on this truth in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? That means do what I say. Don't be captured by your circumstances. Let your obedience subdue your circumstances. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. You will stop toiling. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto thee, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. How do I get them then? But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. That is your access to these supernatural additions. Is laying up your treasures in heaven. Laying up your treasures in heaven. Getting committed to God's purpose on earth through practical investment of your limited resources, so he can open up his heaven upon your life. He said, whatever goes there, the moth and the rust cannot corrupt. Whatever goes there is guaranteed an harvest. Whatever goes there holds a tomorrow of fortune for you. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Jesus took time on this. He took time on it. It's so important for us to know that, look, he devoted 16 verses to that subject. He devoted only 4 verses. Look at it. He has it here. 9 verses to prayer. Chapter 6 and verse 7 to 15. 9 verses to prayer. 3 verses to fasting. And 16 verses to the subject of prosperity. Did you notice that? Now listen to this. From verse 7 to 15, it talks about when you pray. Now from verse 16 to 18, it talks about fasting. But from verse 19 to verse 34, it talks about prosperity. Now, these are the classical teachings of Christ. Because he knows that when your material needs are met, your focus will be established. Can I hear your amen? He knows that your focus will be established. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the poor. I have a mission to the poor. I need to show them they don't have to remain poor. I need to show them provision is fully made for them to be enriched and empowered for wealth. And he did. It's my prayer that someone here is going to catch this time. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You won't be hunting after them. They'll be rushing at you. He said, all these blessings will come to you and overtake you. Come and say, overtake. And overtake you. And overtake you. And overtake you. When you do what I say, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed outside the city. Your storehouse shall be blessed. Your field shall be blessed. Your basket shall be blessed. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. You shall lend always and you shall not borrow. If you diligently hearken to what I'm saying and observe to do them, he said, you shall be blessed in the city, you shall be blessed outside the city, you shall lend always and you shall not borrow. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 to 14. It's so important for us to know that no one can outsmart God. Nothing secures your destiny in the kingdom like obedience of faith. Come and say, obedience of faith. Nothing secures your destiny in this kingdom like obedience of faith. Your obedience of faith is what guarantees your destiny in the kingdom. You can't walk in the truth and not triumph. Walking in the truth guarantees your triumph any day, anytime, anywhere. How does this covenant translate in practical terms? And I'll be closing very shortly. All the things that are written aforetime, the Bible said they are written for our learning, so that we, through the comfort of scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15 verse 4. We saw a nation under a curse in Malachi chapter 3. And God said, I am the Lord, I change not. But you went away from me, that's why things go sour for you. Return unto me and I will return unto you. They said, where shall we return unto you? He said, in your tithes and in your offerings. Ye have robbed me. How have we robbed you? He said, in your tithes and in your offerings. Return unto me, I will return unto you. Prove me now if things will not change for you. Prove me now with your tithes and your offerings and see whether things will change for you or not. Prove me now. Prove me now. I am in command of the fullness of the earth. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. But you cannot assess it on your own terms. You can only assess it on my own terms. He said, when you prove me, then shall you return. And the sum between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. He said, and in that day when I make up my joys, they shall be mine. That is, God's riches will be made available to mortal men on the basis of the covenant. Heaven's riches will visit the earth through covenant practitioners. Through what? Heaven's riches will visit this earth through committed covenant practitioners. In verse 17, it said, that is Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 to 18. Verse 17 says, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. I will spare them in that day when I make up my joys, when I open up my treasures, when I visit the earth with my riches. In that day, hallelujah, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I release my treasures, when I make up my joys, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. I will distinguish them. I will set them apart. I will connect them with my resources. Prove me now if I will not open you the windows of heaven and visit the earth with heaven's dimension of riches. Prove me now. That's why many are in crisis. Because they want to assess God's riches on their own terms. They want to have their own breakthrough on their own terms. You can't assess my resources on your terms. You can only assess my resources on my terms. It is not yours, it is mine. So I'm the one to determine how you can connect with it. You don't determine where to sign your checkbook. They tell you where to sign. When you sign in the wrong place, they return your paper back to you. This is not the terms that's acceptable to the bank. Sign it here or go away. You have tried enough. You have tried to assess God's treasure through prayer and fasting. You are wasting your energy. He said, prove me now. Not with prayer, not with fasting. Prove me now. This is where you got disconnected. Return. When you return, I will restore. How many want to see God restore dignity, financial dignity to their lives? Return and I will restore. Return and I will restore. Return and I will restore. God wants to restore financial dignity to the body of Christ, but it will be on his terms. 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 This is what I saw, and it helps my faith. On the 4th of September, 1987, I saw for the first time that the tithe that we give undergoes an heavenly transaction from Hebrews chapter 7. The Bible said here, men that die receives tithes. All are ushers, all are officers in church. They carry their buckets and you drop your seed in there. He said, but there he receiveth them. Hello. There he received them. There he received them. So every tithe that drops from you is received there. Hello. It's received there. And when it goes there, it commits God to open his heaven when you are due. Can I hear your amen? I take time on this. There, he received them. So when you package your tithe, Jesus, thank you for the blessings that came my way during this period. I present my tithe to you, my high priest. You are my source of eternal supplies. You are my glory and the lifter up of my head. Amen. There, he received them. That further fortifies my stand. That the tithe is not on the altar of the church. The tithe answers in heaven. Come and say, answers in heaven. The tithe answers in heaven. It turned me on. It reinvigorated my stand on this covenant position. This is what I believe grants you access to the realms of supernatural empowerment for wealth. This is how God's word creates wealth. You know what Deuteronomy 28 said? If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all that he tells you to do, that the Lord your God will set you up on high above all nations of the earth. There are names here that this generation will yet celebrate. Yeah. There are industries here that will become major sources of succor for multitudes. Yeah. There are companies here that will go multinational in no time. Yeah. Just by lining up with the higher ways of God and lining up your thoughts with the thoughts of heaven. This is what makes it work. All the tithe of the land is the Lord's. Leviticus chapter 27. All the tithe of the land. All the tithe of the land is the Lord's. Verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. That's why he said, ye have robbed me, this whole nation. Ye are cursed with a curse. Please don't toy with a curse from the mouth of the Lord. It leaves you a struggler. It makes life unbearable. All the tithe of the land is the Lord, whether of the seed or of the fruits of the tree. It shall be holy unto the Lord. So everything that comes your way, what belongs to the Lord, is first and foremost separated and sanctified. So you will not be dubbed a robber and a thief. I think it's important at this point to mention this. God is not in need. Is only committed to meeting your needs. He said, if I were hungry, would I have asked you? The 1,000 rams upon the 1,000 heaves, they are mine. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. So God is not in need, but is committed to meeting your needs. However, he cannot meet your needs without you complying with the terms of the covenant. It cannot meet your needs without you complying with the terms of the covenant. Ever since I got this truth, my tithe has not failed once under any condition. Under any condition. Ever since God established this truth to me, I have been an addicted, delightsome, excited tither with all my being. It's my joyful delight. I knew when my tithe was 3 naira. I knew. And it was 30 naira, sorry. Taking it back to this ministry. I'm sure it will interest you to know I earned my last pay in this ministry December 1987. My last pay, that this is your salary, I earned it last, 1987 December. I got so hooked to my eternal source of supplies, it has never failed once. Nobody heard it from my mouth until 1980. God has been my eternal supplier. And I tell you, he's supplying it too much. He's supplying it too much. You are hearing for the first time in this church perhaps. There is nothing beggarly about my life. Both at home and abroad, everywhere I have been totally dependent on the eternal source of supplies, and it's working magic, if I'm permitted to use that. I work in this ministry minimum 16 hours a day, and I'm not on the payroll, but I'm paid from there. Because I'm so used to the reality of there. I serve with the caution that my boss is watching. My boss is marking. So I stay on my duty to get the job done. Just to prove to you the reality of the other side. The other side is more real than any oil company. The other side is more real than any nation of the earth. The other side is more real than what anybody can make you believe. It's far more real. I remember the second month after I did what the Lord instructed me to do, my wife asked me, what about the money? I said, it has been laid on the altar. That will tell you how relevant that money was then. It has been laid on the altar. Not one of my staff was told. It has been laid on the altar. And we have not taken it from that altar from that time. And there is no way your church can pay me what he pays me today. There is no way your church can pay me what he pays me today. What am I talking about? The other side is too reliable. The other side is too dependable that only foolish people doubt the reality of it. Lay up your treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust cannot corrupt. I will say something else to you that will blow your mind. As small as this church is, this is a titan church. This is what? The multi-millions that visit our church is tight. So I don't know what you are covering in your small company. There are data we can't give you on this platform, sir. It's not normal to give you on this platform. The things happening in this place. I saw it clearly that all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It shall be holy unto the Lord. I saw it so vividly. We are not playing no games here. God is too real in this center. God is too real in this center. The project going on here at Covenant University is going at the same rate of consumption financially as the 109 projects going on across the nation at the same time. At the same time. Millions too big to utter in public. Flowing in from heaven's resources. He said, it shall come in that day when I release my joys. They will see me, how I distinguish my own. And those who are serving me from those who are not serving me. God is about to distinguish somebody here. Please note, the church is not in need of your tithe. It is you that is in need of it. Right? God is not in need. He's only committed to meeting your needs. And he cannot meet your needs on your terms. He will only meet your need on his terms. And he said, return unto me. You have tried your best. See how much you have produced. Return now. Come. Do you want to die a struggler? Come back to me. Listen to my word. Do what I tell you to do. I'm not in need of the small thing you hold in your hand. You are the one in need of my heavenly supplies. Come to me. I don't need it. You need it. Come down here. You are too small to be my helper. I'm not looking unto you to help me. I'm the one who said, don't look unto man for help. I can't descend so low to be looking unto you for my help. I don't need what to have. It came from me. I can't be envy what I gave you. What have you that you have not received? The job you are doing, I gave it to you. The money you are earning, it's me who gave them to ask you to be paid that much. Your business, I'm the one in charge, that's why it's working. Don't let me withdraw my hand. Return to me. I returned many years. I found my eternal rest with God. This is how God's word creates wealth. There is so much wealth on this earth. You can't afford to walk in penury because it's your Father's creation. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Lift up those hands to heaven. Lord, thank you for showing me your secret today. Thank him for his secret that he's showing to you. Supernatural wealth is the heritage of the redeemed. Jesus died that we through his poverty might be made rich. You can't become a member of a wealthy family and walk in penury. Whatever is not of you that is plaguing any life, as they partake of this blood, let every stranger be flushed out in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every pain, every plague, I decree they be brought to an end in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Is there any particular thing you desire from the Lord from this table today? Lift up your hands and say it to him. What is it that you desire from the Lord today? Your strength is to be restored. Your understanding to be enlarged. The grace of God to come stronger on your life. In Jesus' precious name. Father, honor your word today. And let everyone's desire at this communion table be delivered in the name of Jesus. No one returns with any sickness or pain in his body in the name of Jesus. Every terminal disease is hereby terminated by the power of the blood. In this month, when we are capitalizing on the word of God, he gave them the bread and their eyes were open. I decree that by this communion, the eyes of understanding of everyone partaking of this be opened in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Go in peace. Experience divine favor in unique dimensions this week. As you get connected to the source of supernatural wealth, I decree that this week marks the end of your financial struggles. Grace to walk in delightsome obedience. Grace to engage the weapon of the obedience of faith in this aspect of life. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. I decree that every curse upon your financial life be broken today. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. Amen. Help me tell your neighbor, the word works. Say it to him in faith, the word works. And this week, the word of God will work for you. This week, the word of God will work for you. After you have heard the word, all you need to do is to establish your decision. When your decision to obey is in place, God's commitment is ever reliable and ever dependable. You are going to see the physical opening of the windows of heaven this year.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, PMB 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674, or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerscananlang.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle Kenanland, Kilometer 10, Idiroku Road, Ota, on Wednesday at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays at 9 a.m. till 12 noon. God bless you.